If you have to summarize in one word, nobody wants to be get breached.
Absolutely.
If you get breached, you're going to lose the customer confidence, whatever the statements you give. Even a 30-member company don't want to get breached. Even a 300,000-member company don't want to get breached.
Right.
Healthcare, critical infrastructure, manufacturing. Mm. There are certain critical infrastructure where even in India, if there is a breach, you're not going to be scrutinized by SEBI or RBI. You're going to be scrutinized by NIA. You're going to be scrutinized by CBI. Right. You're going to intelligence agencies. Absolutely. Because there are a lot of elements involved into it. Right. It's a mess to be in.
My question to you would be, is it the FAIR model limited to a particular sector, or is it a sector agnostic model that can be utilized for effective cyber risk quantification?
This model is not only related to cybersecurity. It can be used anywhere where risk is involved. You have an unlimited budget. You're spending left, right and center everything. But when it comes to quantifying where you are spending and why you are spending and how you are reducing the risk of the organization every year.
Right.
That's the real report card of yours. FAIR plays a very, very important role. It saves your cost. It saves your manpower because 80% of your effort will be going only on the 20% of the effort which really impacting the business.
Right.
Rather than you are solving tickets which is having no impact on the business.
On the business.
So if I have to ask you the roadmap, what would be the roadmap and what would be the exact flow and steps? How as an individual I can contribute to the organization to implement this FAIR model? Hello, welcome to Security Chips. I'm Bhupesh, and today we will deep dive into a topic which is very important from the modern cybersecurity strategy standpoint. So joining me today is Mr. Rahul, who is a technical advisor at FAIR Institute and is a leader in cyber risk and operational risk quantification. So welcome, Rahul.
Thank you. Thank you, Bhupesh, for having me.
So Rahul, just to start, I think I'll speak about quantification. So we have learned that quantification is something where we need to have a baseline, that is a zero, and a span. And in between, then we try to scale up things and then quantify. At the same time, cyber risk is something which is very prominent in this digital age. From a personal standpoint, from an institutional standpoint, from an organization standpoint, and of course, from a country standpoint. So, and now we are talking of something that is linked. So we are trying to link cyber risk at the same time quantification. So for me, I'm feeling it a bit difficult to understand this. What is cyber risk quantification? So you being an expert in this domain, so we'd love to hear from you. What exactly is cyber risk quantification?
So I think that's a very relevant question to start with. And let me take 2 minutes to make it very, very easy to understand for all the viewers who are watching. So when you talk about today's cyber risk management industry, the biggest challenge for every security leader is to how they can showcase a quantified view of their cyber risk to the senior management and to their operational team. For example, if I am telling you that in my organization, there are 20 risks which are red, amber, green. Now, the severity of those red, amber, green, sometimes you are unable to translate that into business risks. It is very confusing for the senior management to understand and especially for the operational team to understand.
Right.
What cyber risk quantification do is basically divides the entire risk into two parts to measure that risk. One is the likelihood of that risk to happen or a breach to happen or any event to happen which can cause a cyber breach. And second, if that breach will happen or that incident will occur, what will be the financial impact of that incident or of that breach to the business? Now, for any person who is technical, who is not technical, when they look at both of the aspects of any risk, that what is the probability, for example, a ransomware probability.
Right.
If the probability of a ransomware to an industry which can be manufacturing to their plant is 90%, and the impact of that will be like 100 crore rupees. Now, suddenly that clearly takes the attention of the board and the entire team members that, okay, this is something serious to see. But if I say the probability of that ransomware is 90%, now the impact meaning without the numbers which are financial is a definition for everyone to design as per their own comfort. a board will be able to figure it out at what is the meaning of 90%, what can happen to the operational team has a different understanding for that. So cyber risk quantification is basically a language which can help L1 to L7 entire structure of the hierarchy of the organization to speak the same language, which can bring a meaning to the business, to the entire organization. So at the end, anything, any attack, any incident will be divided into two parts. One is the likelihood. It can be ransomware likelihood. It can be a probability of a DDoS likelihood. And it can be a data exfiltration likelihood. And the financial numbers, which can be in dollars, which can be in any currency based on that country or that geographical location. So that is cyber risk quantification.
Great. I think great to hear a lot of things related to, you spoke about likelihood, you spoke about the impact, how it can help the leadership in an organization, how they can plan things around this. So I think you come from FAIR Institute, and to my knowledge, it is the most recognized standard across the globe for cyber risk quantification. So if I have to ask you that, what are the components of this FAIR methodology or a FAIR technique or that you utilize for cyber risk quantification? So if I have to ask you, so what would be your answer on that? With some examples that you, if you can quote some examples.
So before we try to decompose the entire FAIR model, I just want to make everyone understand what exactly is FAIR, right? So FAIR Institute is basically is a custodian, or you can say it's a community of more than 16,000 security professionals.
Okay.
And these are not cyber traditional cybersecurity experts or hackers and all. These are very professional cyber risk professionals, I would say, or cyber risk analyst,
right,
from CISO to, and anyone who is interested to manage their risk in a different manner, in a quantified manner. That is the interest which brought these 16,000 people under one roof. Second, almost half of 500 Fortune companies, people are a part of this custodium. And based on the open standards and open community, everyone contributes their own views and opinions that how the risk can be treated in this way or that way. And then the management of FAIR, they take those inputs and come up with new frameworks which are there. So it is very, very data-backed, very, very data-driven. And the best part is open standard. So it's 100% defensible models, open standard. Anyone can use that free of cost. Now, coming back to the models, you can say, decompose this entire thing. So FAIR divided into 3 to 4 parts. First is, you can say, is FAIR CAM. So FAIR CAM is FAIR Control Analytical Model. Now, what do you mean by Control Analytical Model? Every organization have certain controls to ensure the overall security of that organization. It can be EDR controls, it can be policies, it can be secure code practices, so on and so forth. So as per FAIR CAM, they said that to ensure the safety of any organization with respect to cybersecurity, FAIR CAM has divided entire control system into 65 important controls.
Okay.
So as per their model, they say these 65 controls plays almost 95 to 99% part in terms of ensuring the safety of the organization.
Right.
And if you know that which control is playing the important part and which control is not playing the important part,
okay,
you can prioritize your actions, your investments based on that.
Hmm.
Giving you an example. So FAIR is widely used in a lot of companies and manufacturing to critical infrastructure to fintech and so on and so forth. So one of the company where I have seen that it's a manufacturing company.
Okay.
They were in process of certain investments, and they say that their EDR, which they were using, the control EDR control were at 25%. So it's, mm-hmm, it ranges from 0 to 100. More, right, you are higher on the side, that means more mature control it is. And the most important part about this model is it takes care of 3 things to calculate the maturity of that control. One is the coverage of that control. So for example, if you are having EDR into your environment, it can be any company, right? If you have 100 assets in your own company and it covers only 10% of that assets,
right,
that means it's not covering the 100%. So it will not give you the right picture, right?
Right.
It also takes care of that what is the reliability of that control. Reliability means how frequent that assessment is being done by that control or the tool which is taking care of that control. That can be monthly, weekly, daily, so on and so forth.
Okay.
And the last one is the capability of that control.
Okay.
So most of the organization, whenever they buy any control or they try to play and plug, they don't see that how many features of that platform we are using. It's like more plug and play and then use it.
Correct.
So are you using the platform or that control to the fullest extent? Mm-hmm. If I have 7 features, are you using whole 7 features or 3 features? If you're not using that 7 feature, that means you're not taking advantage of the full capability of that platform.
Okay.
So if you multiply or calculate capability, coverage, and reliability, you come up with the maturity of that control.
Mm-hmm.
So FairCam is basically a model which gives you these 65 controls, their maturity, and at the end of every quarter, you can see as a CISO or a senior security professional that which control is lacking in my environment and not giving me the right output.
Correct.
And then you can invest into that. Second model is basically FairMAM. Now, this is a very, very important model, especially when you talk about RBI's cybersecurity framework, SEBI's new guideline, NIST. Every organization after the breach, definitely they try to calculate their materiality, that how much loss it happens and how we can, how much penalties we have to pay to regulatory bodies. But before that, materiality analytical model will help you to calculate the materiality impact of on an organization of a particular scenario. For example, FairMAM gives you a very, very good 190 or 160 or 90 controls, fields, like after a breach, how much per hour cost you have incurred for the recovery people who will be doing the recovery of your data, how much reputational damage cost you are expecting. And these are not decimal correction figures. These are a range.
Right.
It can be ranged from $10 to $20, so on and so forth. And based on how much data forensic team will cost you per hour. Now, every country have their own numbers, so on and so forth. By default, when you run a materiality analytical model, the sheet which will be given to you, it is manual in nature also, and some commercial companies are giving automation way also. You have to fill this information. This information can be collected by the CISO, from the legal team, from the finance team. 90% companies have never calculated these numbers in our understanding before this exercise.
Okay.
Even you will adopt FAIR or not, but once you will be able to calculate this materiality model, you will be able to see that how much risk my organization is sitting on. And again, this risk is not a single figure. It will, after filling all the calculations, all the information, legal fees, reputational damage, regulatory fines, so on and so forth, you will be able to come up with a range like my total risk. If today there is a breach, my total risk will be from 50 lakh rupees to maybe 2 crore rupees. So that's the range.
Right.
Now imagine you have taken an insurance of only 25 lakh rupees.
Mm-hmm.
With this number, when it says it's 50 lakh to 2 crore rupees, your insurance is not going to cover that entire thing.
Right.
So this data backed up information will help you to build your use case to go to senior management and say that, guys, our risk is at this. We are lower in our insurance. So we need to enhance that insurance. And again, you don't need to blindly have full faith in these numbers, right?
Right.
You, as a human being, that's why there is a range, right?
Correct.
So if it is saying 50 lakh to 2 crore rupees, you can raise it to 75 lakh rupees.
Correct.
Don't go to 2 crore rupees. But still, it is far better than 25 lakh rupees.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be the vice versa also.
Correct.
Your risk for a ransomware is like 5 crore rupees, but you have taken an insurance of 20 crore rupees.
Correct.
But then that means you have to take to 10 crore rupees and save 10 crore rupees for the company. Every penny saved, every penny earned, right?
Right.
So this will help you to build that use case with the data backed up numbers to see what will be the impact to my organization on different scenarios and what will be the cost I have to take care or have to put in my bank or insurance to ensure that what can happen. And this really helped to get the right budgets, cut budgets, and get the right cyber insurance also. Last thing which I will talk about FAIR is that their third latest model is FAIR TAM.
Okay.
FAIR TAM is basically a third party analytical model.
Hmm.
Now, third party, you know, 66% of the breaches are happening because of the supply chain attack and the third parties. So, traditionally, most of the players who are showing the third party risk to the organization about their vendors is basically red, amber, green, or maybe there is a score like 1,500, something
right.
like that.
Right.
But it does not represent that what will be the impact to their business. Because mm-hmm. if third party gets breached, it's not the third party which is getting breached. Their impact will come to your to you also.
Correct.
And if you remember the one case study of a services-based company, I will not take the name.
Mm-hmm.
That's an Indian company who's taking care of for the software development for an American company. When they got breached, the data of that company was also breached because they were the third party to Correct. Take care of certain aspects of the development.
Correct.
So you don't need to have to see that third party is a different body. It's a part of your ecosystem mm-hmm. also, because there can be a critical data you're exchanging.
Right.
There can be a critical information which is being residing there, or it can maybe a revenue which is being involved also based on the data you're sharing with them.
Right.
So third party analytical model will help you to prioritize third parties based on the risk and the impact on your organization.
Right.
So if I'm managing 1,000 third parties, it's very difficult for me to calculate each score and then take the decision on the score. If your score is 900 out of 1,000, or your score is 100 out of 1,000, what I have to do with it? What will be the real impact of that?
Right.
So in fair TAM, it will show you that for this third party, if ransomware will happen based on their current security, the impact to that organization or to you will be 50 crore rupees. Now, once that will happen, automatically the practitioner who is taking care of that third party's list, out of 1,000, he knows what are the top 10 third parties who are going to give me the biggest impact on my financial terms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that becomes the priority. And to ensure that those critical third parties will be taken care of, management is ready to invest the money, management is ready to support you. But unless and until you will not be able to show any business impact of that, then everything is like a plain English. The last model which FAIR will, I think, is in process to publish is FAIR AI, because
okay.
AI is becoming an important one, which maybe in the podcast we'll talk about later.
Right.
So overall, these are the three models, FAIR CAM, FAIR MAM, and FAIR TAM, which basically 100% open standard and... all the models based on impact and likelihood, so that you can prioritize based on the business decisions.
Great. So I think till now we have spoken about likelihood, we have spoken about impact, you've also spoken about third-party risk assessment, and we know that how critical it is, of course, in the critical infrastructure for as an organization, for as a country. At the same time, you also gave details about FAIR models. You spoke about FAIR MAM, FAIR CAM, FAIR TAM, and also we'll be speaking more on the AI part that you mentioned. But then again, I will bring back to you to the basics, right? Quantification, right? So quantification is something where one assumes, or we assume, that it requires a massive historical data mm-hmm. sets, right? So is it right to say that first, it requires a massive data? Then what would be the inputs to actually get the effective cyber risk quantification in place for any organizations, or let's say for any institutions? So these, what are your views on this?
So I think that's a myth, I must say, that you need to have a very long trail of historical data. I'll give one example of a startup who are using FAIR and in their ecosystem. It's a logistics startup. So they did not have any previous data. So what they have done is, for the last 6 months, they collected the logs of their login attempts, you know.
Okay.
How many login attempts have happened on their platform, on an app in the last 6 months. And then they see, okay, 200 login attempts every day are happening. And based on the last 6 months of data, of only the logs and attempts in their log system or whatever, they figured out that out of these total 200, there is a 2% chance that one or two login attempts will bypass our security system and get into the environment.
Okay.
And if that happens, what are the systems they were able to breach or they were able to acquire? And what business impact of those systems to the organization if that got breached, or the information which those servers or those systems are hosting, if that goes to the public domain, what will be the damages which will come to us?
Okay.
So that comes around almost 20 crore rupees. Okay.
Right.
That will come to 20 lakh rupees for a startup, I guess. So they said, okay, for 20 lakh rupees, this will be the impact to us. And the probability is 2%. Now, they will invest. What they did, they invested 4.5 lakh rupees on the login security, 2FA or whatever, training and all. And they almost mitigated the attack by 90%.
Okay.
So now, the data which was required is based on the scenario. Quantification, you do not need to quantify each and everything in your organization. It has to be a scenario-based requirement. For a particular scenario, you need a particular set of data. Any logs, any reports, people are using VAPT reports, people are using phishing data reports, and so on and so forth. So in phishing, if 100 people are receiving an email and two persons are clicking on the email, automatically you can calculate the frequency in the last 6 months that every month we are sending an email to 100 people, and the probability of people clicking is like 1 to 2%. Imagine if that probability is 90%. So then the impact of those compromises can be 100 crore rupees. Now, when you know that that 100 crore rupees impact is there, if that attempt will go through, definitely you will try to prioritize that to mitigate those attacks. You will go to the manager and say, okay, I need 10 lakh rupees to eliminate 100 crore rupees of risk to my business.
Right.
There you will not talk about logs and other stuff. And neither they are interested, neither they want to hear, and neither they will may or may not understand.
Right.
Because board, CFO may or may not be technical people.
Right.
But when you talk about money and when you talk about the impact to the business, that will play an important role. So to answer your question in a very simplified manner, that's a myth that you need to have a very, very big historical data.
Right.
Your logs, your phishing reports, whatever you can do as an SMB for a small scale, all this information, ISO reports, your VAPT reports from the third parties,
right,
each and everything can be consumed to predict a breach for a particular scenario. But you cannot have a blanket of CRQ on each and everything.
Correct.
You cannot spray paint. So first you need to identify what risk you are trying to mitigate. Is it a ransomware risk? Is it a DDoS risk? And then based on that risk, you try to acquire a particular data. And data does not require to be historical.
Historical, and we need to have different inputs for different kind of
exactly
outcomes that we may require. I'm really getting interested in all these discussions that we are doing. And you also mentioned how cyber risk quantification is enabling security leaders within the organization to talk to their board the language of security, right? So if I have to ask you, let's say if a chief information security officer has to align his security to the business goals for the organizations, so how he can do that? So can you give some examples how organizations are typically doing it? Because I know FAIR model is being followed by a lot of big organizations within the globe.
Sure. So I think I'll talk about some certain public figures. So how not only the board, but also to the regulatory bodies also. I'll give you one example. In US, you have 8K filings, you know, 10K filings for the public companies. Like we report to, you know, RBI, SEBI, we send up. Every public listed company has to share their annual reports, right?
Right.
In US, it's like 8K or 10K. So one of the 8K or 10K filings of Netflix.
Okay.
For the users who don't know, Netflix is a very heavy user of FAIR models, and they are using quantification. And the use case they are using is for to quantify and predict what is the probability of a movie or a season to be exfiltrated and to be in public domain leaked before the real date of
exactly
the release,
exactly,
right?
Right.
So every organization has their own way of using FAIR to predict these things. And in one of their 8K or 10K filing, they did not particularly mention FAIR, but they have said that we are using, to assess our cyber risk, we are using a very widely adopted open source risk assessment model to manage and quantify our cyber risk.
Right.
So that's one use case for the thing. Second, for the security leaders like CISOs. CISOs always have a very big problem in industry, and people who will be watching will agree, especially the CISOs. Whenever they go for a budget to the to a CFO, to the board, there is always a one question that first, what happened with the last budget? What was the ROI of that budget?
Right.
And usually the answers which they gave is very, very subjective in nature.
Correct.
They're very English and we have done this, we have done that. And being a board or a CFO who is into financial background or may not be in technical. If it is technical, then you are in a good hands. But if it is not, then it's very difficult for to make them understand that how the impact of your actions has been done in ground level. So when they're using FAIR, the only difference becomes is, for example, company is not having any data backup recovery or any solution. Now, based on the data and the simulations or the collection and quantification assessment which CISO has done, it has come to their attention that because we do not have data recovery, our ransomware attack with data exfiltration means someone will put a ransomware and they will try to exfiltrate the database. The probability of that ransomware is 90%.
Right.
Now, take a hospital as an example. So the CISO of a hospital, there are a lot of Indian hospitals who are using FAIR directly or indirectly with commercial or use. So I'm giving that example. So if ransomware will happen, then there's a 90% chance of the ransomware happen. Now imagine you don't have cyber risk quantification, but your all logs, all the reports of your VAPT compliances, everything is saying there is a big probability ransomware will happen.
Correct.
Now you went to with those heavy reports to the management in the boardroom and say, guys, we have a very big probability of a ransomware happen, 90% happen. Now, how you can expect that, what will be their answer to make you understand, okay, what they understood about 90%? What is the meaning of that 90%? Because you're not translating that to business impact, which Correct. They understand as a senior member. So with quantification, when you go there and they say that, okay, guys, we have a 90% chance of ransomware based on 2 lakh or 3 lakh patients' data with us, based on the regulatory fines on us, based on historical data breaches which are happened on the healthcare,
right.
What is the biggest impact happened on the CISO, what are the inquiries were went on, keep on going on the all the stakeholders, I am expecting reputation damage, data, this and that, our cost will be around $150 million.
Okay.
Now that suddenly just takes everyone's attention, even they are sitting after lunch. You will get that tension for sure as you hit 150 crore rupees or 150.
Yeah.
So the 90% is an alarm. But as per their capability, they are not able to translate that 90% to a meaningful understanding of themselves.
Correct.
So when you put in business impact of that, suddenly then spike goes up. Mm. And then we'll say, okay, 150 million is there. How you can reduce it? Now, CISO can say very clearly, with FAIR, you can do certain thing known as treatment plans. Now, that's a very, very important thing. I want viewers to see that. There is a treatment plan option where you can say, okay, my risk is 150 crore rupees. If you give me 20 crore rupees, I will be able to reduce the risk by 75 crore rupees.
Okay.
If you give me 10 crore rupees, I'll be able to reduce it by 35 crore rupees. If you don't give me anything, I'll be able to still reduce it to 120 crore rupees. Now, these are the three plans. You choose what is best for our organization. Now, suddenly what you have done, you have given them the data backed up stats and have given the ball in their court to choose how they want to save their business.
Correct.
Usually the CISOs who are new in the organization,
right.
They are very, 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 very in the favor of FAIR because they want to see that what happened, what the other person have done before I came, and then they will assess the information and freely can information show to the management.
Right.
So overall, when you put a business value and numbers, financial numbers, and if you talk about money, you will definitely get the attention of the board. If you only talk about technical jargons and other stuff, then I'm not sure that you'll be able to entertain most of the people at the senior leadership who's sitting in the room.
Great. So I think you clearly mentioned about cyber risk quantification. You've given how the details, how FAIR model is actually doing the cyber risk quantification. So I think we would also like to understand, you spoke about Netflix, you gave some other examples as well. I've also gone through a few of the documents wherein I see a lot of BFSI sector is adopting this framework. So my question to you would be, is it the FAIR model limited to a particular sector, or is it a sector agnostic model that can be utilized for effective cyber risk quantification?
Well, that's a very good question. So, I'll tell you a very interesting story. It's not related to cybersecurity. In one of the countries, there is a company who takes care of earthquakes, you know. They build buildings based on the earthquake and all. They are using FAIR to calculate the impact risk of an earthquake, what will be the impact of an earthquake if this happen on based on these scenarios.
Okay.
So this model is not only related to cybersecurity, it can be used anywhere where risk is involved.
Okay.
That's point number one. Second, when you talk about which industry it belongs to, it can be any industry. For a hospital industry, they are able to, I'll give you a certain example of the companies who are using FAIR in India as a hospital chain. What they have done, CISO has segregated their entire environment into business critical infrastructures. For example, if I have 14 locations and I have, in 14 locations, I have 2 to 3 hospitals. Based on the financial impact on the security of their hospitals, which are the hospitals are on my radar, which will, if they got breached, I will get the biggest hit. So when they wake up in the morning, in FAIR, they just see, okay, what are the hospital chains or the locations which are giving me the biggest financial impact? If it is giving, they try to drill down that, why it is giving me this type of financial risk. Similarly to BFSI. BFSI for every net banking, for every... So they segregate their infrastructure based on the risk with respect to department or application-wise. Net banking, core banking, SWIFT systems, or NRI banking, so on and so forth. So all the infrastructure is divided into certain application, business application divided into certain portions. And when, as a CISO sees that entire infrastructure, they sees, okay, this application or this department is giving me the biggest impact with respect to risk and the financial impact. I have to look into it. What are the things? So the model is same. The architecture is same, but the field will be different. Okay. But at the end of the day, what is required for a CISO to see, you'll be able to see that no matter how, because at the end of the technology will remain same, right?
Right.
EDR will remain same. Cloud will remain same, but only the implementation of those technologies will be different based on the industry where they are implemented. But when it comes to the risk quantification, that model begins the same, but the inputs sometimes become the different, because a hospital chain which is might be adhering the HIPAA guidelines will be submitting certain different information. Absolutely. But a financial sector will be supplying some different information.
Got it.
And the attacks which a hospital chain is facing, or attacks or of a financial information financial services company is taking, might be different. But once that data gets into quantification, based on the interest of the consumer who is sitting at the senior leadership, what he want to make a sense out of it, that basically served by FAIR, no matter which industry you belong to.
Great. I think you clearly mentioned that this framework and this model is sector agnostic. So be it a power energy sector, be it a healthcare sector, be it automotive, be it manufacturing. So it is applicable to everywhere, right? So according to the regulations and the compliances, it will quantify the risk and give the relevant guidance to the end users. So when you say sector agnostic, right? So is this model too complex? First. And second, what are the misconceptions related to this model? And you might have encountered few of them. So would you like to give some examples on that as well?
So I think I have given a same example earlier also, that there was a fintech startup. Now, first, I will tell you the misconception. The first misconception is that it's not a must-to-have framework.
Right.
It's a good-to-have framework.
Okay.
EDR is a must to have a control, right? You cannot survive with the EDR, no doubt about it.
Right.
But one thing people don't understand, that if you're a mature organization who has spent a lot of money on a lot of controls, and if you do not know how to quantify the ROI of those investments, today or tomorrow, you will be grilled. Unless and until you are there in the organization for 25 years and you have good relationship, that's a different case. But if someone is really want to scrutinize you, it's very difficult. You have an unlimited budget. You are spending left, right, and center, everything. But when it comes to quantifying where you are spending and why you are spending and how you are reducing the risk of the organization every year, that's the real report card of yours. You cannot maintain that subjectivity for the lifelong, you know, lifelong scale of yours or the tenure of yours whenever you're in the organization. And second, one misconception is that you need a lot of data.
Right.
To start with quantification. As I mentioned, that based on a particular scenario, if it is DDoS, you only need information which can cater DDoS information. It is a ransomware. If it is phishing, it can be anything. What you are worried about?
Right.
Based on my SOC history of login attempts, I am worried about that someone is trying to get a remote desktop access to my machines. Now, can I say that's a clear problem of mine?
Right.
Now, what I will do, I will take... So this is a startup example. They have seen that okay, remote desktop attacks are spraying because their credentials in dark web, and people are trying to log in into their email accounts, left, right, and center. And out of 1,000 attempts every month, there is a probability that 2% will succeed.
Okay.
Now that's a problem. Can I say?
Right.
Now to make your use case with this limited set of information, you need to tell the management guys, if this login attempt succeeded and the people will get that servers where my 2 lakh customers information is there,
right,
which is not even encrypted, we will get a lot of hit financially, regulatorily, and they are going to kill us almost. Regulatory bodies and the intelligence agency is going to kill us based on the criticality of the information you are carrying. It's like the AIMS data when they got hacked, right?
Right.
It's a very, very critical information for a lot of people.
Right.
So once that is established, okay, you don't need super data to backed up. There is a history logs. Based on the history log, you said, okay, total number of customers are 2 lakh. Even I cost per customer based on SEBI's fine is like 200 crore or whatever.
Right.
So I'm going to get hit by 250 crore. And if there is certain European customer of yours, then GDPR also applied to that. And suddenly you went to 350 to 500 crore bracket.
Correct.
And to protect 500 crore, now a startup says I need 2 lakh rupees or 5 lakh rupees to put a protection on the chatbot or protection on the login attempts or implement 2-factor authentication. That's a no-brainer for any CFO to approve that budget.
Correct.
So it misconception that you need a lot of data to get the things done. Misconception that it's a must to have. It's a good to have framework. We can still survive with that. Definitely you can still survive with that. There's no doubt on that. But is it about the survival or going one step ahead on the survival? So that's the choice every CISO has to make. Unfortunately, if you see West, they are very proactive in terms of things. Here in most of Asia Pacific regions, we are reactive. Whenever there is a breach, nobody can come faster in terms of correcting that. But before that, we are a little bit of lacking in terms of proactive actions to see how. And that's where the fair pair plays a very, very important role. It saves your cost. It saves your manpower because 80% of your effort will be going only on the 20% of the effort, which really impacting the business.
Right.
Rather than you are solving tickets, which is having no impact on the business.
On the business.
So that has to be related with the business terms.
No, great. I think you mentioned about the misconceptions. So I understand that historical data is not a mandate thing. It can be done on the real-time data and the estimates. At the same time, the process is not that complex as well.
Yeah.
And sector agnostic you talked about. I would also like to understand, let's say for an implementation, we are going for an implementation of cyber risk quantification with a FAIR model for any organization. So how mature an organization's processes should be to adapt this model? Is it also relevant for the low mature environments as well? Or we need to have a basic or a very high matured environment to get this model implemented for any organization?
So I'll give you one example of a startup, which was a logistic e-commerce company.
Okay.
35 employees. And suddenly they realized that there is certain DDoS attack which might be coming on them.
Right.
They recently got funded and their entire business on the app and the website. And suddenly traffic is coming very nicely. And suddenly they realize that 1 to 2 hour impact is being incurred. They have everything to protect it, but it was not enough.
Right.
Now, they want certain investment to be allocated to DDoS protection. But how you will build your use case to tell investors that whatever the money I have taken, I'm a Series A funded company. I want to put this money to protect this thing. Because for them, they have given you the money to scale the business, right?
Right.
They will not allow you to put almost 5% of the investment into DDoS protection, for example. Correct. So how you build your case? So what that startup has done, they build a use case and they said, okay, in our website on daily visit, we have 30,000 daily visits. Out of 30,000 daily visits, almost there is 2% people who are purchasing our products, for example, and that is converting to a revenue of this.
Right.
Okay. So per day, 30,000. Now imagine if there is a DDoS attack for 1 day or 2 day or maybe a couple of hours, they have calculated per hour cost impact to their business because right. the orders will stop and people will not be able to. And also there is a churn to customer also.
Correct.
If you are frustrated with the app, people today don't have a, you know, patience span. Correct. They're going to jump to another application because there are a lot of applications out there. Right. So they build their case and it's a real case study. They build their Correct. Case and tell investor, oh, guys, this is what we are seeing. There is a probability because we are small. There are a lot of hackers or APT groups who want to get us. So can we spend, because we are expecting that if this attack will go for 2 days, we are going to lose almost 30% of our business.
Correct.
And this impact will may reach to a level that we will be able to lose the customer who will be frustrated for 3 days. Unable to, they're starting doing the payments and payment get blocked or something like that, it will be a mess. So we want to secure this 75 crore rupees of business
right.
with respect to downtime, with respect to reputation damage, and that's fair MAM, by the way, huh?
Right.
MAM model. So you'll be able to calculate per hour cost. If there is a DDoS attack, then how you will recover it? You have to hire a company, how much usually it costs, a ballpark figure, how much will be cost, and then how, when you will be coming back on the system and what is the probability again it will happen.
Correct.
So after calculating everything, they made a slide which are 100% data backed and show to the management, a 30 member startup company, not Correct. A huge company.
Correct.
And they say, out of our 15 crores of investments, I want to spend 50 lakh rupees only on the DDoS protection.
Correct.
Can we do that? Because right. this will help us to reduce this risk to that.
Right.
Now that makes sense to the senior management and showcase.
Correct.
So if you talk about maturity, it is not maturity of an organization is important. It is based on the understanding of the business impact and you are right. able to convey that impact in an easier manner to the senior management to secure the overall business. Because for everyone who is watching, right, why we are spending on security?
Correct.
I'm going to ask you. So I put you on the podcast board. So what is the final real reason why we are spending on cybersecurity, any organization?
So I think any organization, if I have to say it, the prime motive would be to run the business.
True.
To avoid any reputational damages.
Yeah.
Avoid any financial losses.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, have a good relationship with among all the stakeholders.
Agree.
And build a confidence to our investors.
Very good.
So that's something I really feel that for any organization, why security should be a prime importance should be given to security.
That's a great answer. But if you summarize and collect all the answers and put one statement,
right?
Why we are spending on the security, these are the aftermath thing. These are the impact and the list of the thing which can cause a problem. That's the reason we are. But if you Correct. Have to summarize in one word, nobody wants to be get breached.
Absolutely.
If you get breached, you're going to lose the customer confidence, whatever the statements you give. At the end of the day, nobody wants to get breached. And when you talk about the maturity, even a 30-member company, you don't want to get breached. Even a 300,000-member company, don't want to get breached.
Right.
So based on what you have seen, what is the threat to your company?
Correct.
Have you able to change that threat and convey that threat and right. convert that threat into a business language? If you have converted that into business language, have you done certain important steps to contain that attack and clearly show to the management or to anyone that with this effort, we were able to reduce a risk mathematically from this to this?
Right.
If you will be able to do that, and that's applicable in any organization, as I mentioned, 30 to even 300,000 people.
Correct. So I think you rightly mentioned, so this is something that can be adapted for a startup to an organization which is very mature and working at a global stage.
Yeah.
So I think with this, we spoke about this model is very sector agnostic. critical sectors, it is applicable to all the critical sectors. Let's say if any organization want to implement FAIR model within their organization, if somebody wants to roll up their sleeves and say, hey, I want to implement it. So what kind of tools are required to implement this? Is FAIR model dependent on some kind of platform? Or any organizations can start from a spreadsheet even and can evolve later on? So what is exactly
the role? So I think if someone really wants to start with FAIR, the most important part for FAIR, actually, they have given a free of cost simulator. It's okay. An Excel sheet,
right,
where it is divided into certain portions. Like, so what are the inputs you can put into that sheet?
Okay. Right.
The first is the lowest event frequency. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you mean by lowest event frequency is basically the past incident logs.
Mm.
Informations which are happened in the past.
Correct.
What was their frequency?
Hmm.
That information. There will be fields. You have to fill that information. And again, correct. It doesn't need to be super correct. Hmm. Based on your assumptions and based on the historical data or the logs, you need to put it that.
Right.
So the first is lost event frequency.
Right.
Second is your threat event frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Threat event frequency means how many times the request is being blocked.
Hmm.
Threat came to you and you try to block it. Events frequency. Correct. The threat is coming and you're blocking it. And what was their frequency?
Hmm.
Third one is vulnerability. Now, when I talk about vulnerability, I'm talking about the vulnerabilities which are existing in your system. It can be your audit reports. It can be your phishing test. That out of these phishing tests, how many people clicked on this? How many people sent their information? Then your security tools, certain information which you can export from those security tools, right, and get the numbers and put it there. That's the vulnerability, third one. And the last and the most important one is loss magnitude.
Right.
And when I talk about loss magnitude, it can be production losses, like what will be the downtime. Then you have reputation loss. And these numbers you have to incur. You have to talk to your financial team. Okay, right, guys, what will be the reputation damage? Have we calculated that? Do we have any estimation of that?
Mm.
What will be the recovery fees? What will be the forensic cost which will be there? So that's a materiality where you're right, adding the financial impact and readiness with respect to the impact after the attack, what you will do. And then you'll be able to calculate the total estimation value. When you fill all these, and these are the fields which are there in the system.
Hmm.
Once you fill each and everything there and hit simulation.
Correct.
Run the simulation.
Hmm.
Then FAIR use Monte Carlo simulation,
okay,
which basically calculate what is the probability of every event which will happen every year. Either it is one time or two time or three time.
Right.
So you will be able to see three things out of that. One, what will be the minimum business impact and likelihood of a breach in your organization based on a particular scenario, by the way.
Correct.
Here I'm talking about a ransomware scenario.
Right.
The information which we just filled, that sheet will calculate the probability of a ransomware from 0 to 100%.
Correct.
Second, this will give you a range of the financial loss.
Hmm.
Min lost, average lost, or a maximum lost.
Got it.
Min means minimum out of 100 crore rupees, you have got 5 crore rupees is must.
Correct.
Maximum, it can go to, out of 100, it can go to 50 crore rupees.
Hmm.
Not beyond, don't worry.
Hmm.
So now after certain information which you have passed on with that sheet.
Correct.
You can keep on changing the scenario with different type of data.
Right.
So based on the logs and the serious threats which you are facing, collect that information from different stakeholders, fill that information on the sheet, simulate that attack and see the probability.
Hmm.
It will not be 100% correct, but it is in the right direction, at least based on certain real data rather than assuming something here and there. So we will make sure that in this description, in the video description, we will put the link of FAIR.U also, and those people who want to practice, they can practice free of cost. Commercially, this is there are companies who are using it commercially also. If you don't want to use automated, you can get those companies and get the automation of FAIR where you don't need to manually do all the stuff. But for everyone who want to use in their own company for free of cost, this really helps an important part to play in their exercises.
No, I think totally logical. I think you spoke about practices. I would like to also understand And since you come, you are already a co-founder of an organization, budget conversations are tough, right? And you're talking of something which is proactive, right? It is not reactive, it is proactive. And to get a buy-in for this proactive approach, for any organization, it gets more tougher, right?
Very difficult to justify, actually.
Absolutely. So when we say that CRQ is definitely going to help any organization for any security measures that they want to take, any investment that they want to make in the space of security. So how exactly quantification can be utilized to justify those investments?
I'll give you a classic example of there was a company which is a retail company. Okay. Right. They wanted to acquire two platforms, okay, but they were confused that which control they should implement. They are massive. I will not name, take the name, but right, it's a massive retail company on the planet.
Right.
They said, we have two problems. One is a DDoS problem.
Okay.
And second, we have endpoint detection problem.
Hmm.
But they are confused that which should prioritize first and which will prioritize second.
Correct.
So what they did is, they did the quantification of that.
Okay.
Quantification results come up and they say that the probability of an DDoS to an organization is almost 78%.
Okay.
That means in next 12 months, there is a probability that 74% or 78% breach will happen. DDoS will happen.
Correct.
And then they calculated if even for one day the DDoS happened and their website goes down of e-commerce and all, the business cost will be almost 1,000 crore rupees.
Oh, is it?
Because they were almost operating in 120 countries. Then they did a simulation, the probability of a breach from an endpoint detection, missing. If there is a miss in endpoint, what will be the probability?
Correct.
That was around 28 crore rupees. Now, if you ask any technical person, they always prefer ki you should go for endpoint detection. You have a good EDR, breach will not happen.
Correct.
Here, when they did the simulation, it was very clear that what is the highest business impact to me? 1,000 crore rupees of one day or 2 day, whatever it was, it will be a cost to the company.
Correct.
Now, they took 1,000 crore is there. They said, we want a DDoS protection of 25 crore rupees.
Correct.
They went to the management.
Right.
They justified it that they will be able to secure almost 925 crore rupees or 975 crore rupees by investing 25 crore rupees.
Correct.
And they ensure that the probability will go to 5 to 10%, which is a safe side to be in.
Right.
Now, that's how you justify that. Second, as I mentioned earlier, every person wants to see, CISO has to showcase their report card every year, right?
Correct.
Either it's subjective way. Right now, what CISO do is they just take reports. They should say, we are compliant with ISO, we are compliant. And there's a checklist. And that's a list they show.
Correct.
They don't understand that. Management might not understand that. But if every year CISO says, like I mentioned earlier, that last year our risk was this, I have purchased this tool, whatever the five tools I have purchased last year, the return on security investment is that each tool were able to reduce 70 to 80% of the risk, which was last year. This year, I don't need any risk to be reduced. I want to maintain with that budget.
Correct.
And I don't need further budget.
Correct.
Now, that's a clear indication that whatever the investment you have taken, you are able to justify the ROI of those investments. If you are not able to justify this, if you are able to justify this without any CRQ, you don't need CRQ.
Correct.
But that's not scalable. But if you really have no options to showcase this type of mathematical way of reduction in the risk and your effort and your team's effort, like I have done this risk, my team members, there is a leaderboard that this was able to reduce 5 million, 10 million, 18 million, and in total, the total risk. It gives a huge importance to your team members also, huge clarity to the the senior management, and this full justification on your investments which you have done last year.
Got it. I think Rahul, you mentioned about justification. So if I have to ask you, I mean, FAIR model is being globally followed across countries, across sectors, across industries. If I have to ask you one success story which has significantly reduced the cyber risk for any organization, so what it would be?
So I'll tell you a case study from US, you know. It is not reduction, but it is how CISO was saved from not being legally punished by the regulatory bodies.
Okay.
There was a e-commerce company, retail e-commerce company.
Right.
They got breached.
Okay.
6 months back, CISO has presented a report to the board that based on the historical list of the breaches and the attempts of attacks which we are facing, we need to increase our coverage of the recovery and we need to increase the coverage of our EDR.
Correct.
So it can be CrowdStrike, it can be SentinelOne, any EDR, right?
Right.
Management said that why you need it.
Hmm.
He said because the probability is above 80%, it is likely to happen. And all the data we have collected with the quantification results, they are showing us that you need to work upon it.
Correct.
He gave the three options. Give me this budget. I'll be able to reduce this, this, this.
Right.
Management denied that budget.
Hmm.
The presentation made, he showed, management denied that budget. The manage, and that's a traditional way of, they want Correct. To cut it out, whatever it is there. Breach happened from the similar way which he has predicted.
Okay.
Regulatory bodies came.
Right.
CISO showed that presentation because historically it is in his email. He said, I showed this to the management. I have clearly told them that this was the missing piece. I need this budget. And if you give me this budget, I will be able to increase the coverage of... So what happened is ransomware happened. Their customer's entire thing was covered. And their EDR was covering only 20%. Because for EDR, you have to pay per asset, right?
Correct.
Something like that. So only Correct. 20% of the assets were covered and 80% of left. But the other which... Because in what happened in an industry is you keep on adding the new assets, you keep on removing the new assets, right?
Correct.
And the coverage remains sometimes same. It takes time for you to... If you have discontinued certain critical infrastructure or critical assets...
Correct.
And you have added new critical assets... That takes time to get into that 20% of coverage.
100%. I think it's with the change of process, the risk also changes.
And
right?
more big organization, more takes a lot of time.
Correct.
And with the duration of that 20%, the ransomware happened.
Hmm.
And CISO just showed that presentation ki to the body that I have told them that this is it. I did not got the budget. I was whatever I had. This is the control list, 65 controls. Hmm. Last year, the control security was this. I tried my level best and take it to below 80%. Now it is 60%. I have trained my staff. Each and every team member of mine has worked on these things and these are the reduction they have done.
Correct.
But beyond this, because I did not got the budget, it was not in my capacity. At least he was able to rest his case in a very, very quantified manner.
Correct.
Now imagine you don't have anything like that.
Right.
You said, I wanted to have a... tool and they did not give me. Why you wanted to have a tool? What was the impact to the business? Now, they can, even board cannot deny that because the person was showing them the financial numbers also.
Right.
That this will hit us hard. Regulatory bodies will hit us hard. So this will be the impact. If breach will happen, that will happen. This is the financial impact which I am looking at. And still, if they ignore to give you the budget, at least you set your case.
Correct.
And then he got... He did not got scrutinized in, in a way it was, we had to be.
Right.
And we need to keep in mind, healthcare, critical infrastructure, manufacturing. There are certain critical infrastructure where even in India, if there is a breach, you are not going to be scrutinized by SEBI or RBI. You're going to be scrutinized by NIA, you're going to scrutinize by CBI, you're going to intelligence agencies.
Absolutely.
Because there are a lot of elements involved into it.
Right.
It's a mess to be in. It's a very, very difficult situation to be in for any senior leader.
Got it. So let's say if some organizations want to implement, let's say I'm a beginner to this, right? As an individual, if I have to learn more about what FAIR model is, or I want to implement that in my organization. So if I have to ask you the roadmap, what would be the roadmap and what would be the exact flow and steps? How as an individual I can contribute to the organization to implement this FAIR model? So what it would be?
So I think the first step of that is you need to get trained on to understand the CRQ.
Okay.
Even we have almost spent an hour on this podcast.
Right.
But still the terms which I used, maybe it will be difficult for certain people to understand.
Right.
And you cannot understand those things unless and until you will go as deep as possible.
Mm.
Now, the question is where you can learn FAIR, right?
Right.
So that's the reason DSEI and FAIR has an association, and there is a certification known as DSEI FAIR Cyber Risk Quantification Practitioner.
Okay.
You can go to DSEI's website, and I'll request anyone can go to description also. We will put the link. I'll request DSEI to put the link there also. You can click on the link. You'll be able to figure it out what will be the content of that certification. And it's an online certification.
Correct.
Self-paced certification. Mm. You can take your time, and especially this certification is for the senior leaders, and you can say CISO minus one and minus two.
Hmm.
If you're a security manager, anyone who wants to learn how to talk the business language, how to talk to CISO, even for the vendors, you know, if you understand cyber risk quantification, at least you can have a better conversation with the right. CISOs, right? Because that's the level of conversation which they want to right. take. So you should go for that certification. It's a self-paced, and you can adopt that. And there's a content. What is the benefit of that certification? What is the duration? What is the course content? There is a contact information available on that portal. You'll be able to see that. And in case you have query, FAIR and DSEI team will get back to you also in whatever the queries which are there. I think with respect to the current states, almost 70 to 80 people have already done that certification, and especially the risk practitioners from, I say, Big Four company, Big Fours right. and other thing, which are risk practitioners. But this certification really help you to levitate your understanding of cyber risk to a very senior level, which might help you in your career growth also.
Right.
Even it is not required for the company, but this really will help you to enhance your skill set to be a better conversation on a table where senior management is sitting.
Thank you, Rahul. I think great insights today. You gave great insights. Some of them were eye-opener. Why you explained why cyber risk quantification is not just a technical requirement, it is more of a business imperative as well. So we would like to understand more in the future coming podcast with you. And with this, I would like to say a thank you. Thank you from our viewers as well. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Bhupesh. Yeah. And thank you, DSEI, for having me.
Thank you.